Reverend Dr. Martin Luther's documents entitled Christian Questions with Their Answers on page 329 of your service book. This is a document created to prepare Christians to receive the sacrament of the altar, but it is also a document that teaches the true doctrine of God's Word and thus the true and only hope of salvation. Well, I encourage everyone, please, to turn to page 329, as this evening we will concentrate on questions 10, 11, and 12. And at the conclusion of the catechesis, we will be going through all 12. Last week, the catechetical teaching stressed the all-important understanding of proper doctrine, flowing only from God's Holy Scriptures, the importance of who Christ is and how many gods there are, along with what Christ has done for you, that you even trust in Him, were all brought into the mix by Luther, keeping the understanding of these doctrines or articles of faith straight before your very eyes, minds, and hearts. Those being prepared to receive our Lord's body and blood. Well, the all-important doctrine continues as Luther's supplied answer to question 9 brings the truth of the Holy Scriptures to your lips, that Christ indeed died for you and shed his blood for you on the cross for the forgiveness of sins. So, the clarification of scriptural doctrine proceeds into question 10. Did the Father also die for you? Now, this is a strange question to those who are familiar with the Holy Scriptures. But that's just it. How many are actually familiar with? Meaning that they stay familiar with the Holy Scriptures. You're never supposed to say, "Oh, I learned the 16 parts, and now that I'm communing, I don't ever have to concern myself with those teachings or any of those other doctrines within God's Word." When that kind of attitude begins to come about, one becomes at risk of having their confession corroded by worldly false teachings, or at worst, their confession is lost altogether. Not only is the doctrine of the Holy Trinity being brought back to the mind of the one being prepared for the sacrament, but through the supplied scripturally proper doctrinal answer, the one being prepared is being kept in their proper confession of faith, thus equipped to ward off the wayward teachings of the world, the wanderings of the sinful flesh, as Peter displayed in our reading, along with the taunts of the devil. A good confession is kept good, as it is made clear that the Father did not also die for you, teaching more proper doctrine regarding the Holy Trinity, bringing you to properly confess that the Father is God only, as is the Holy Spirit, but the Son is both true God and true man. A good confession is kept good by God, as God's scriptural truth brings you to confess Christ crucified. For the one who is both true God and true man, he is the only one, the only person of the his fourth question, 11, and asks, how do you know this? How do you know what? That Christ died for you and shed his blood for you because of your wanderings away from Christ, just as Peter in the readings for this evening. Yet again, the Holy Scriptures are rightfully brought forth as the only source of such rescuing comfort. The answer is completely word-reliant. How do you know that Christ died for you and shed his blood for you? Luther brings to your lips the only answer: from the Holy Gospel, which is only revealed within the Holy Scriptures. He also brings forth from the words instituting the sacrament, which are the words of Christ and are only revealed within the Holy Scriptures. And he also brings forth the answer, and by his body and blood given to you as a pledge in the sacrament. Again, the only way that you even know that Christ's body and blood are given to you in the sacrament is because it is only revealed within the Holy Scriptures. Word-reliant. Then the very Holy Scriptures are turned to, as Luther brings to your lips question 12, what are the words of institution? As previously stated, they are the very words of Christ our Lord instituting the sacrament of the altar. And what's imperative to hear within these words of Christ is who's behind the verbs. Who's behind the serving? It's not for man to make the sacrament what he wants. It's not for man to keep it special, as if it's a law-based thing that you have to do. It's what God intends to do with the sacrament. That's why you hear, I talk to the 7th and 8th grade class, that's why you hear within words of institution, he gave it. He gave it. That's God's intent. That's not what we are to do with it. It's God's purpose. That's what matters, not what we make it. It's what God intends, and thus the one being prepared as Christ's gospel delivering words on his lips, being guided to the surety of the Holy Scriptures as you will now say them yourselves. Meaning that we will officially be beyond the halfway point of this blessed document of Luther's as a catechetical opportunity, let us take the time now to go through the first 12 questions as a pastor would ask those desiring to receive the sacrament of the altar, beginning with the introduction. After confession and instruction in the Ten Commandments, the Creed, the Lord's Prayer, and the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper, the pastor may ask, or Christians may ask themselves, do you believe that you are a sinner? How do you know this? Are you sorry for your sins? What have you deserved from God because of your sins? Do you hope to be saved? In whom then do you trust? Who is Christ? How many gods are there? What has Christ done for you that you trust in him? Did the Father also die for you? of the altar, the means of his body and blood that deliver the forgiveness of sins that only he earned for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.